Well, hello and welcome everybody to the Music and Ministry Podcast. My name is Stephen Reed and I am your host today. So glad that you joined us. You know, one of the things that happens as worship leaders is that we are supposed to be leading worship. And as we've talked about in previous episodes, that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Most people's interpretation of what worship means is music in church. And that's important to know because as you as a worship leader stand up and say, come on, let's worship, that's what they're thinking. Hey, we're about ready to have music in church. But then when you start to get theological with people, there's a whole lot of different ideas about what is and is not worship. And those ideas could be valid, and certainly everybody has an opinion, but the only opinion that really matters is God's. So how do we find out what God calls worship and what he doesn't call worship? Well, you have to actually open up the Bible. So that's one thing that I love to do is to read the Word. And it really took me a long time in my worship career, if you can even call it that, to actually start to look and see what the Bible had to say about worship, because I just really liked playing music. I love the Lord. And this was the first time that I was really able to put those things together. And so when I started looking at scripture, well, it really opened my eyes as to what I was doing, because I thought I was going to read all these scriptures about music and then come to find out that music sometimes involved, but it a lot of times is not. So one of the things I like to do when I teach worship is to ask, where is the first time that worship is mentioned in the Bible? And if you're scratching your head and thinking, well, I don't know where that is, well, don't feel too bad. Most people don't either. But it's actually found in Genesis, and that's not too hard to believe because Genesis is the first book of the Bible, but it's where Abraham is asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. And so it's important that we take a moment here just to mention the principle of first mention. And that just means that anything in the Bible where it's mentioned the first time, it usually has significance. Now, we do that as humans where we'll remember our first kiss or our baby's first steps or the first time that you got the guitar or whatever. We don't remember the 37th or the 149th. It's the first. But more than just being memorable, these scriptures in the Bible have a meaning and they set the tone for what that word means throughout the rest of the Bible. So when we go and look at that story where Abraham is asked by God to sacrifice his son Isaac, well, that's a big deal because Abraham was chosen by God to bring forth God's people. And Abraham, if you look at the genealogy of Jesus, if you read the first chapter of Matthew, there's a lot of generations until Jesus came through, but he's also considered the father of our faith. And as you read through those verses in Matthew, you'll see that most of his children are mentioned somewhere else in the Bible. And so this is the problem. At the beginning was that Abraham was old and he didn't have any kids. So he was talking to God. He's like, hey, I'm old. I love you. I've been serving you. I don't have any children. And so he's like grandpa old. And so is his wife. So God takes him out and shows him the stars in the sky. And he says, this is how many descendants you're going to have. And it's going to happen through natural childbirth through your wife, Sarah. And so miraculously with some missteps along the way, they are able to conceive in their old age Isaac. So Isaac is the fulfillment of every promise. This is the one thing that Abraham has asked God for. He says, man, I have a lot of stuff. I have all this land, all these people, all these things, but I want a son. And so God asks from him the one thing, and really the very thing that he gave him. And not just to like, hey, I want you to commit him to the Lord. I want you to go up and I want you to sacrifice him on an altar. So then the scripture goes and says that they traveled for 3 days and they stopped with his servants at the base of the hill. And he said, we're going to go up to that mountain and worship. And that is the first mention of worship in the entire Bible. And so when you start to think about worship from the context of that story, you have to quickly realize, well, they didn't bring a banjo. They didn't bring a harp. They didn't even bring the latest recording of your favorite artist. All that Abraham brought was the most important thing to him in the world, his son, Isaac. He brought a knife and fire. And that was it. There's no music at all mentioned in anywhere. And he goes up to the top of the mountain. He's getting ready to sacrifice his son. And then God yells out and says, because you haven't withheld your son from me, I won't withhold my son from you. It's very metaphoric there as far as Jesus and being able to legally bring him and have him be the sacrifice because Isaac. And it's really just a very cool story of how all that works together, and lots to study in that context of scripture there. But for us as worship leaders, that first mention of worship ties it, and as you follow it through the rest of the Bible, you cannot separate the idea of worship equals sacrifice. Now, it is important to note that this is not the first sacrifice noted in the Bible, but it is the first time that a sacrifice is called worship. So, and we could go into a lot there, but as you follow that through the rest of the Bible, you'll see how in the Old Testament, when they came to worship, they had to bring something to sacrifice. And then ultimately, Jesus became our sacrifice for us. But then really, Romans 12:1 says, therefore, let us present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable. And a lot of translations will say, is your acceptable act of worship. And so that really, for me, when I first read that, I'm thinking, well, this has nothing to do with playing the guitar at all. Well, yes and no, because what you're doing by leading worship, what you're doing with those songs is that you're leading people to sacrifice. So there's a couple things I really want you to see. Number one is that we really need to spend time figuring out what worship is so we can lead it better. But then number two is that we find out, how do we accomplish worship through our music? How can we write songs or choose songs that are leading us to do what the Bible calls worship? Those kind of differences are really what will make the difference when it comes to the results that we're getting. So I hope that inspires you to go and get your Bible and look up every place that the word worship is mentioned and see what God has to say about it. Well, as always, if there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to ask. Just shoot us an email at musicandministryconference@gmail.com. And you can check out the growing amount of resources that are on our website at musicandministry.co. Well, until next time, make it a fantastic week, and God bless.